beginning. If you're able to, take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be noticing verse 47, or verse 46 through verse number 52. As we continue in the theme, closing it out actually this morning, Christ for the world. Christ for the world. And that Jesus still is the answer for the world today. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through verse number 52. Follow along as I read this morning. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, just be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray together. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to come face to face with your word, and help us this morning to listen carefully to what you have for us from this passage of Scripture, and that you would help us to have an open mind, if you would, an obedient heart, and that we would have feet that are willing to just do what you would have us to do. The need is so great. It's great in our community. It's great in our state. It's great in our nation. It is great in the world. How I thank you this morning, though, that we can go forward with confidence that there is a compassionate Savior for people in need. So again, help us to listen carefully in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I do want to preach a message entitled A Compassionate Savior for People in Need. You know, all around us there are people in need. Some physical needs, some financial needs, some spiritual needs, but some emotional needs. There are all kinds of needs that just are around us. In our state, there are many people in need. In our country, many people in need. And yes, around the world, there are many people in need. But praise God this morning, there is a Savior for people in need. And His name is Jesus. When we are the neediest, He is the most sufficient. When you are completely helpless, He is the most helpful. When you feel totally dependent, He is absolutely dependable. When you are the weakest, He is the most able. When you are the most alone, He is intimately present. When you feel you are the least, He is the greatest. When you feel the most useless, He is preparing you. When it is the darkest, He is the only light you need. When you feel the least secure, He is your rock and fortress. When you are the most humble, He is most gracious. And when you can't, He can. Jesus Christ is a compassionate Savior for people in need. And in our passage of Scripture, we see the Lord Jesus Christ showing His compassion toward a man in need. And we notice in verse 46 through verse 48 that we see one in need of compassion. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people." Let's think just for a moment about Jericho. I have never been there, but it is the only recorded visit of Jesus in Scripture to Jericho. Jericho is 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. So you got that in mind. So Jesus and his disciples, plus a great number of people, they came to Jericho. They're going there. And while there, Jesus and the disciples and the great number of people encounter a man that is in need of compassion. By the way, we find in the context that his condition was simply that he was blind, but he was not only blind, he was a blind beggar. I have had the opportunity to travel, and I have been into some places where I have come across people literally who are beggars. And they have their little can out there, whatever that they have. I've seen some individuals have even a guitar case out there, not playing their guitar, but they just have a guitar case out there, and they're just wanting people to throw some money in. And I know if you're like me, you're a little skeptical because you're wondering, is this really a valid need? Does this person really have a need in their life? And so here is a man who was blind. Blindness in that day was very common. And so we have this man, not only blind, but he's begging because he could not work and he probably didn't have a family who could or would even support him. According to the American Foundation for the Blind, they estimate that there are 3.4 million legally blind people in the United States, and 2 million are severely visually impaired. It's interesting when you think about children in that category, 568,000 children in the U.S. with vision difficulty. So it was very common in that day, and yet it's a common thing today. You might know some blind people, as I do. But it was very common in that day, and so here is this blind beggar. The Bible even gives us his name, Bartimaeus. And the Bible says that he is seated by the highway side begging. So as the people, which was very common in that day, would walk by, they would hear of this man crying out, "Alms, alms, can you help out a poor blind beggar?" Truly, his condition was very valid. And so these people encountered this blind beggar. And we find in verse number 47 and verse 48 that the Bible says that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was in that crowd of people, he began to cry out and said, in the context, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now the crowd of people said to him, "Would you just be quiet? Would you just hold your peace?" Now think about this. Did that man just kind of like sulk and go off his way? Did he kind of just sulk and say, "Okay, yeah, I'll just listen to you"? No, the Bible says that this man just even more so cried out more of a great deal. The Bible says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He had such a need in his life. He knew that there was only one man that could help him. Only one individual in that whole crowd, and his name was Jesus, that could help his condition. And twice he cried out, "Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on a man like me. Help me, Jesus." So here we find a man in need of compassion. I think it was Laura that sang a couple of weeks ago, heard the song entitled "People Need the Lord," and it starts off by saying, "Every day they pass me by, people headed who knows where." because people need the Lord. I don't know, in this past week, and I ask myself as I'm asking you, how aware were we in this past week of people? How aware were we possibly of the needs that they may have had? Obviously, they don't walk around and necessarily say, hey, let me tell you about the needs in my life. But I'll guarantee you, we all encountered people, whether they told us or not, who are in need. And here is a man that was in need, and he's simply crying out, help me. And there are people around us, they may not articulate it very clearly, but they are saying to us, would you help me? Maybe that drug addict who is going for another fix, help me. Or that alcoholic who is going for another drink, help me. Or that person who is in great emotional distress, help me. Or that person who really may not be fully aware that they need someone in their life to care for them. But if we'll listen, help me. And this man is sitting by this highway side. He's begging, help me, please help me. So he calls out Jesus' name. Have mercy on me. Which leads me then to the second thought in verse number 49 through verse number 50. We see one full of compassion. We notice that the Bible says that Jesus stood still. Now, Jesus didn't just pass this man by. The others were saying, hey, you just sit still and be quiet. There's other people around here who we think have more important needs. You just be quiet. But Jesus, he stops. The Bible clearly says that he stood still. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem with his disciples to celebrate the Passover for the last time. He was on his way there to suffer and die. But yet, at this very moment, Jesus was not too preoccupied to be compassionate and never too much of a hurry to heal the afflicted. That's just like Jesus. That's just like Jesus when others don't have time for other people in need. It's just like Jesus to be there. And he was there, and he met this man's need. The Bible says that Jesus not only stood there, but then commanded him to be called. So Jesus says, bring that man to me. And we find in the context that they go to this blind man and say, be of good comfort. Get up, he calls for you. The Bible says that this man cast away his garment and he goes to Jesus. Because that day, Jesus was going to express great compassion toward this man because he is still full of compassion. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 4, but God who is rich in mercy. And we find here in this context that he was going to answer that cry for mercy to be shown upon a man. Have mercy on me. And Jesus, full of compassion, was going to show mercy toward this one. Jesus, the great physician, would do his work in just a moment. But we find in the context that Jesus was full of compassion. I read about a man who went to see his doctor because he was just suffering from a very miserable cold. His doctor prescribed some pills, but they didn't help. So the man went back to the doctor, and the doctor gave him a shot, but that didn't do any good. On his third visit, the doctor told the man, go home and take a hot bath. As soon as you finish bathing, throw open all the windows and stand in the draft. To which the patient protested, but doc, if I do that, I'll get pneumonia. The doc said, I know, I can cure pneumonia. Thank God today we have a physician, a great physician. His name is Jesus. And he can meet the needs of people in need. So we see one full of compassion. But notice now, verse number 51. We see this blind man who experienced compassion. Notice, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Think if in your mind what it would be like to be blind. Things that you and I take for granted, like looking at a screen and seeing the various colors. We could only describe to a blind individual what that looks like. We could go take a nice drive this time of year and see the beautiful colors on the trees. But a blind individual, though while in the car with you, you could only describe to him or to her what those colors look like. We take our sight for granted sometimes, don't we? But here was a blind man who only had one request of Jesus. And Jesus, that simply is, I want to receive my sight. Now notice his faith. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So we see the request, and then we see the faith of the man, because Jesus often, throughout the gospel accounts, it's written for us that when people expressed a need in their life, that Jesus often would say to them, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Remember that father who had a son in need? And he didn't even want Jesus to come. He just said simply, Lord, heal my son. And what did Jesus honor? Jesus says, I've never seen so great faith in Israel. He honored the faith. And in this context, the Lord is honoring the faith of this blind man. Lord, I'm coming to you. These other people couldn't help me and haven't been able to help me. Who knows how many times his parents ever took him to a doctor in those days? But none of them could help him. But he came to the great physician, and that day he forever had not only his physical sight from that day on, but the Bible says, thy faith hath made thee whole. The Bible then says, verse 52, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Isn't it interesting? What came, if you would, first? The faith or the following? The faith. And the Lord honored the faith of this man, and his life was forever changed. Not only from a physical standpoint, but also a spiritual standpoint. Think about it, the stories he would be able to tell from that day on. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. His life was forever changed. One day, a Christian and a communist were sitting on a park bench, watching the world just simply go by, just enjoying the day. As they watched, a poor drunken beggar walk by dressed in rags. The communist pointed to the beggar and said, communism would put a new suit on that man. To which the Christian responded, maybe so, but Jesus Christ can put a new man in that suit. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So here we see that a blind man in need met a compassionate Savior who forever changed his life. So let me conclude this morning with three thoughts. One, spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness. Because think about this, if you're a Christian and blind, one day you'll receive your sight. But if you're blind and don't know Christ, and quote, walk around in spiritual blindness, that is far worse. Keep your place here and go with me to the Gospel of John for a moment. John chapter 3, and notice verse number 19 and 20. John chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus is teaching in this context. He's actually giving a rather lengthy reply to Nicodemus that he must be born again. And so then Jesus says this in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And by the way, who is the light of the world? Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why is it that you and I can share the same gospel message with people and we're burdened for them? We want to see them come to Jesus and they're not interested. But you can go to someone else and you can talk to them and it just appears that their heart and their mind is open to what we are sharing with them from the scriptures, and they come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their life is forever changed. Sometimes we're going to encounter people who, when we share the gospel with them and we share with them the light of the gospel with them, that they don't want to come to the light. Why? Because the light exposes them for who they really are. And men want to stay, if you would, in that state of lostness without Christ, because they love darkness rather than light, because the light exposes their sin. And Jesus says, that's a bad place to be. They don't want to come to the light because they know what will happen, what will be exposed. And we find in the context that Jesus says in verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to start with me at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Word of God says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, pause there and notice. He is saying, we have put aside that which would veil the gospel message so that the truth could be clearly seen, clearly understood. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what, church? Lost. Verse 4, in whom the, notice this word, God. Now the God, little g, of this world is Satan. Sometimes people wonder, what is Satan doing today? What he's been doing since his fall. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, church, there are people in this state, in your community, in our country, yea, and around the world, who are in a state of spiritual blindness. Satan loves to have them there. He is doing what he is just, he's fulfilling his job. He is the God of this world. He wants to keep man blinded to the gospel. He doesn't want them to be saved. He wants to try to take as many people with him to hell as he can. But here we are today. We sit in the comfort of this building. We know the gospel message. And we know the power of the gospel to break through the blindness. How do we know that? Because many of us this morning are testimonies of that. We have experienced what it was to be spiritually blind. Now we have spiritual sight because we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Paul was convinced of that gospel. He called it the glorious gospel of Christ. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He's saying, hold it, we didn't go around and preach about us. He says, we preach Jesus. Because Jesus then and Jesus now is the answer for the world. He's the answer for spiritual blindness. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in our earthly body, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. It is amazing to me what lengths, if you would, that God has gone to make sure that salvation, as Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. You and I are simply mouthpieces for our Lord here on this earth. We are his representatives, but I have no saving power at all to take a soul from darkness to light. I can't do that, but I know one who can. That's Jesus. And so you and I encounter people daily who are in spiritual blindness. And that is worse than physical blindness. Secondly, you can cry out to Jesus in your moment of need. We find that this man in our main text back in Mark chapter 10, he cries out and the Lord meets him at his point of need. And likewise, our missionaries, 21 of them that we send out and we support prayerfully and financially, we do so with the confidence, and they do so with the confidence. They leave the comforts of this homeland to go to a homeland that is not very, very comfortable. I was sharing with Carol before the service this morning of one of our missionaries who writes a weekly email update. And I'm not talking about just a couple of paragraphs. I'm talking about a lengthy email update. Andy and Jill Schultz serving in Zambia. And this morning he wrote about how hot it is right now. 95 one day this week, it got up to 106. We're talking hot. Then you want to add to that the difficulties. Of course, many of them don't have air conditioning over there, but their economy in Zambia is so bad, so bad, that they are cutting power every day for 15 hours. So now people who have the abilities to cook cannot. The people who have the abilities of running water cannot have that for the lion's share of their day. And you think about that, and here is a missionary. Why would he stay there? Why would he even stay on the field? Why don't you just come back home? One, because he's in the will of God, but two, he has such a burden to see those Zambians come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, because he knows that they are in need and that Jesus Christ is the one who can meet the need. He has confidence in that. He has seen it over and over again. The third truth I want to share with you, and that is this. Whatever need you are facing, you can bring it to Jesus and find help, hope from a compassionate Savior. No matter what your need is, physical, financial, emotional, marital, some kind of relationship, whatever need you are facing, you can bring that need to Jesus and find a hope that comes from a Savior full of compassion. I'm so thankful that our Lord does not say when we come to Him in a moment of need, hey, just get over it. Quit pouting. Get over yourself. That's not our Savior. Our Savior is one who cares. Our Savior is one who expresses hope in time of need. And I tell you this morning that He is such a Savior. He died, He lives, He reigns, He pleads. There's love in all His words and deeds. There's all a guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus. Though some should sneer and some should blame, I'll go with all my guilt and shame. I'll go to Him because His name, above all names, is Jesus. Do you know Him today as Savior? Say amen. If you don't, come to Jesus today. Believe on Him. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible, let me close with this, tells us in the book of Jude, and of some having compassion, making a difference. If we're going to make a difference in this world, we've got to follow in the steps of our compassionate Savior and leave this building today and go into our week, some of you into your work week. But as you go into your week, say, Lord, help me to be full of compassion toward people. Work through me this week to make a difference through a compassionate spirit. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, we'll stand. But before we do, would there be someone here who would say, Pastor, I don't know this Jesus, this compassionate Savior that you're talking about. I don't know Him as my Savior. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. If that's the need in your life this morning with their heads bowed, and the only one looking, would you just lift your hand up wherever you're at and say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all, while we wait, anybody at all. We're here to help, not to embarrass. Anybody at all say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. This morning, as God's people, if we're going to be like our Lord Jesus more and more, then as we see this morning, we see that He's a compassionate Savior. And I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, Pastor, would you remember me in prayer that God would fill me with compassion toward people? You may see yourself maybe not as real compassionate. We're all wired a little bit differently. It may be in your life that you want to make a difference. You want God to use you to make a difference in the people that you are around for good. Now, I wonder this morning, there'll be those here who say, Pastor, remember me in prayer, that I will be filled with compassion and that God would work through my life to make a difference with people that I encounter, that I would be a missionary right where I am and be full of compassion because there's needy people all around me. That's my prayer, Pastor. Would you remember me in prayer this morning? Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Say, Pastor, I just need to be filled with compassion. I really need to be filled with the love of the Lord toward unsaved people and try to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Would that you remember me in prayer, that God would work through me to make a difference. Is there someone else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else, just lift your hand up and put it back down while we wait. One other question, that is this morning. Are you in need? Are you in a need this morning? You're facing a need in your life and you just want prayer this morning. Would you raise your hand, rub your hand? Say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I'm in need. I'm in need. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, how I'm thankful that your word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This blind man's life was forever changed that day when he met Jesus. Physically, but more importantly, spiritually. And Father, how I pray that in our life that we would be a people full of compassion toward people, that we would go forth with the gospel this week, not out of duty, but out of love, because all around us in our place that we work are people in need, spiritual need. They're in spiritual blindness, some of them are. And you have us as lights in the world, and so help us to let our light shine, but help us to have a boldness and a spirit of compassion about us to try through your spirit to reach them with the gospel. Help us to become more missionary minded right where we live, and help us to have a great missionary heart for those that come through the doors of our building from time to time. People whom you called to go to a particular field and reach a particular group of people with the gospel. Help us to have, again, a great heart of compassion to come alongside them as you lead us to help them reach them for Christ. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen.